Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and praise the Lord.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless each and every one of you. Welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We are excited, amen, this evening to be able to join you once again, amen, sharing in the Word of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to hear the Word of the Lord from none other than my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. I invite each and every one of you to tune in, grab your Bibles, and get ready to go on a trip, amen, through this Word, amen, gaining the truth, gaining the knowledge, amen. I guarantee you that as long as you hear the voice of the Lord, you are going to be steered in the right direction, amen, amen, and amen again. But before we get into the Word of God on tonight, let me just begin to give you our announcements for this evening, amen. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. Every Saturday at 9:30 a.m., And Sunday at 8:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, amen. Our Sunday, Saturday, and Sunday morning worship, amen. That's Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m., amen. We also want to let you know that we do have Facebook pages. Go to our website, www.ctkr.org. On our website, you'll get to learn more about us, amen, the ministry, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Also get to know more about myself and Apostle McQueen. And if you would like someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, the Bible said when two or three are gathered together in his name, that he is in the midst, amen. And if you would like someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, or if you would like us to minister at either one of your engagements, as you're on our website, that is www.ctkr.org. Go to the Contact Us page, follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Amen? Amen. For those of you who have been following us, amen, and would like to watch us live, go to our media page located at the top of the website. Once again, www.ctkr.org. Go to the media page at the top and you can see our live broadcast as well as our broadcast from previous services. Amen. Glory to God. We also, as I said before, we have Facebook pages. Go to our Facebook page, like up there, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, or you can find us under Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. Amen. We'd love to hear from you, and we want to know how God is blessing you, amen, blessing your life, amen, and even how this ministry is blessing your life. Glory to God. Amen. And we also invite each and one of you that are following this ministry and those that you are new, amen, to our pages, that you will become a prayer partner and a vision partner with this ministry, amen, financial supporter, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Glory to God. Those are our announcements for this morning, people of God. Now let us prepare our hearts for prayer. And immediately after prayer, the next voice you will hear will be none other than my husband, Apostle McQueen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we glorify you and we lift your name up high. God, we thank you for the awesome name that you have given us. God, we thank you for your protection, your power, and your strength. God, we need your people right now. We humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we just bow at your feet this morning, this evening, God. We just ask that you would just begin to allow us to rest in your presence, allow us to just rest in your glory. Father, we even ask now that you would just wash us from the day, God. Just take away everything today that just tries to distract us and pull out of your presence and pull us out of conditioned to your word and conditioned to your way, just allowing our emotions to run wild. God, we just pull ourselves in at your feet. We humble ourselves and we submit to your will, God. Even now, we ask for forgiveness, Lord, if we have done anything that is contrary, that is contrary to your word. Father, we ask for forgiveness right now, that you would wash us and cleanse us, God, from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. Father, remove everything out of us that is not like you. We want to walk in your liberty. We want to walk in your freedom. We want to walk in your purpose in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you and we bless your holy name. Even now, we invite your presence. We invite your glory. We invoke your presence and your glory into this place. Father, we just say, have your way. Touch each and every life, God, that is under the sound of my voice. Begin to minister to the deep parts of their souls, the deep parts of their minds, God, their subconscious and their souls and their hearts and their minds, God. Do it now, Father, in the name of Jesus. As the man of God comes to minister the word, Father, we ask now in Jesus' name that you would give him the word right now, word of fresh manna from on high, that as he begins to deliver the word, that it will bring deliverance, that it will bring healing, that it will bring peace, that it will bring joy, that it will be the very answer, the keys that each person has been asking for, the keys to
the questions that they have, God. The word that's coming forth out of the man's mouth, it will be a right now life-changing word in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we give you glory. We give you glory now for what you're doing. We thank you, hallelujah, for the resources, God. We thank you for the people that are being touched right now. We thank you for the signs, wonders, and miracles, God. We thank you for the healing power. We thank you for your strength, God. We thank you for your glory, God, that's going to be revealed in the lives of your people. Move by the precious Holy Ghost. We give your name praise. We give your name glory. We definitely give your name honor, God, in this house. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Put your hands together right wherever you are. Wave your hands in the air. Give God some glory. Open up your mouth and tell him thank you. Hallelujah. Tell him how awesome he is. Lord, we bless you. God, we give your name all the glory. We give your name all the honor, Lord. There is no one like you, God. We humble ourselves, God. We bless your holy name. We lift your name up. Our mouths are filled with your praises, God. We give your name all honor. We thank you now. We glorify you now. We bless your name now, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, people of God, as the atmosphere is already stirred, let us right now prepare our hearts to receive none other than the angel of this house, Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. So happy that you would join us this evening. We know that there is a word from the Lord. Amen. And we're excited that God has chosen to use us in such a time as this. You want to understand, or you will understand, that God is doing the incredible, amen, with his people. Amen. And that is so important for us to understand and recognize. This is not a day for mediocrity, but it is a time for us to rise up, the people of God, the kingdom of God, amen, to the greatness that God has called us to, amen. And with that being said, that means that there are some things that we're going to have to lay aside. The Bible tells us to lay aside every weight, amen, that so easily besets us. And we have to put some stuff down so that we can go forward in him. Amen. This evening, we want to continue on with what the Lord gave us on Sunday. Amen. And continue working the text, working the word that he has given to us. Amen. And that's going to be important for us as we are growing and maturing and matriculating, amen, in the things of God. Amen. So we want to deal with this question, how are you living? How are you living? And when we start talking about how are you living, then a couple of things come to mind. Namely, when we say how are you living, we checking out your mental status. We're checking out your physical stature, amen. Sometimes we're even checking out your material possessions. But after all is said and done, we have to ask the question, how are you living? If you are a child of God, amen, then you should be living on top of the world, amen. God has given us the ability to have the best, amen. And sometimes the best does not always translate to the world's understanding of what the best is. But when God is in control of it, amen, God makes sure that we have everything that we need. Amen? Amen. So we started off in the book of Ephesians. Let's go on over to Ephesians, if you will. Amen. I want you all to go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll see more about us. But there's a donate button there. I'm telling you this because we have needs across seas, and we need your help to address them, amen, sons and daughters on mission field who ask for assistance, and those who live in those areas, Pakistan, Kenya, Uganda, Nigeria, and they ask for your assistance so that they can do the work that needs to be done. So we ask you to become a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, man. It's not a ploy. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme or anything like this. This right here is what is needed in order for us to be able to do the work of the gospel, amen. And if you don't share what the Lord has given you, then how can we say that we take care of our own, amen? So this is just a plea to you to help. Amen. Go to www.ctkr.org, and there you'll see the donate button. Donate, and in the memo part of that, give us a testimony. Tell us if you would like it to go to Pakistan versus Kenya, Uganda, or Nigeria. Amen. And we'll make sure that we are attentive to that. Amen. Now, let's get into this word. Amen. Let's look at this. We have to understand that when we talk about how we're living, we have to look at how we got to the place where we are. Amen? And we started at Ephesians 2 and 19. I might want to back up just a little bit, but we'll go right there and see where the Spirit leads us. It says, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens." "With the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Amen. Now, when we start talking about how you're living, we begin to deal with the fact that you are the temple of the living God. You need to just say that to yourself and come to an understanding that you are the temple of the living God. I know, you know, you've been called some of everything. I know in your life you probably look like some of anything, but after all is said and done, once the blood has touched your life, once you have placed your sins and your past up under the blood of Jesus, you now are part of the family of God. You are part of the beloved, amen. And you have to understand that the enemy of your soul will not want you to understand that. He'll try to drag you back to yesteryear and remind you of how raggedy you were. Tell you a whole bunch about yourself. You know, I know when I was younger and I used to lift up my hands before God and I would say, "Hallelujah." I try to get into the worship, and while my hands were up and my eyes were closed, all the enemy was telling me how I felt that week. Brought back to my remembrance how somebody said something, and instead of letting the Spirit of God work through me and the peace of God manifest through me, my flesh got in the way and I told somebody, or I did something, or I jumped, or I snapped, or I maybe that wasn't you. Maybe while your hands were lifted up, you know, there was somebody who came by that was attractive, and your mind began to wander off into yesteryear and what you would have did or how you could have done. Amen. See, what the enemy don't want you to do is he don't want you to get comfortable in the presence of God.
Amen.
Dare I say, your flesh don't want you to get comfortable in the presence of God. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying that every once in a while when you begin to move forward, your flesh tries to move you back. Because some of the things about your flesh is that it likes certain things. It loves to dwell in the shadows. Huh? We call that a prurient interest, which means that your flesh is always looking for something tantalizing. Huh? Always trying to get a little glimpse of something that you should not see. Hear something that you shouldn't be listening to. Huh? Experience an atmosphere that you shouldn't be a part of. Your flesh loves that stuff. Amen? That's why TV shows right now and all the rest of them have been able to capitalize on the fact that sex sells.
Uh-huh.
Hmm? You know, it doesn't make any sense for us to be able to look at TV and see for a hamburger someone scantily clad and just eating the burger as if it's the best thing in the world. Your mind isn't even on that burger. Your mind is on that person there. Mm-hmm. Huh? And how they're enjoying the burger. What they're trying to show you is that this is desirable.
Yeah.
Their dress and the way that they act shows you how desirable it is. Now, I've eaten a hamburger before, and it's never been like that, huh? Yet and still, people will run out and try to get the burger. Okay, listen, how about I don't remember what it was, the shampoo commercial where they used to, y'all know what I'm talking about, when they would be up in there and she would be washing her hair and making the sounds of not washing her hair, huh? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're not old enough to be in this conversation. Listen, the thing is that they try to make it seem your mind tends to go where your flesh won't go. But your flesh is guiding your mind. You see what I'm saying? So you're thinking about it, you're hearing it, but yet and still you're trying to tell everybody, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, got Jesus on my side, I'm running for my life, and I will. See, hold on. We ask the question, how are you living? Because sometimes your speech don't measure up to your living conditions. Hello, somebody. Here in this passage of scripture, Paul begins to talk about, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners. And I said this on Sunday, and I'm going to say it again. We got to stop acting like strangers and foreigners in the household of faith. The devil's beat you down enough. You lift up your hands and just tell the Lord, thank you. And when you lift them up and the devil begin to tell you how you was ready to tell somebody off, or how you was looking at somebody, or how you did this, or how you did that, just remember while you're saying, thank you, Lord. Put on the end of that thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood. Why the blood? Because the blood washed my sins. It cleansed my mind. It changed me. Oh, I'm not perfect. The blood still works. And I know it's still working on me. But I'm not where I used to be. Thank God I'm not there. I'm not where I want to be yet. But I know I'm in his will and he's progressing me,
yes, God,
to where I need to be. I'm going to let him continue to do the work. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to let God continue to do the work. Come on, tell him. Yes. So here he says, we're no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Amen. We went over to the Message Bible and read it there. It says it real clear. It says, that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. Stop acting like you have no home. Brother and sister, you got saved. You belong to the kingdom of God. Amen. You belong to the kingdom of faith. That's what he says here. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. I don't care how you look at it. After all is said and done, we walk by faith. We live by faith. The just shall live by their faith. See, you should have faith, and you must have faith. You must live with this faith. You must devote yourself. And let me say it like this. You must invest in your faith. What do you mean? You can't keep saying that I have faith and everything about you is about what you can lay your physical hands on, what you can physically see. Faith is not what you got. Faith is not what you can see. Faith is what you hope to obtain, what you don't see yet, but you believe is coming. Every promise that God is giving you is part of the faith, amen, that you need to hold on to. You know what the greatest faith walk you need to have? Is that your stinking life, the life that you used to live before you came to Christ, that life is up under the blood. It's by faith that you are saved. Look at your neighbor and say, you better have some faith.
You
better have some. You better have some. Mm-hmm. Stop letting people talk you out of your faith. You belong to the kingdom of faith, amen? That is your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. Well, I just feel like I don't belong. People just tolerate me. No. That's your insecurity talking right there. As a child of God, you belong here. You are part, amen, of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Says you're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. Listen to this. With as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using all of us, irrespective of how we got here. And I just want to say to some of you, because people will try to keep you compartmentalized, or they'll try to put you in the tier system because you did not come through my way, or you didn't come through the people I knew. I was prayed for by such and such and so. I came by this way by such and such and so. Amen? And after all is said and done, after all is said and done, it don't matter. As long as you made it to the kingdom, it don't matter. Long as you made it to the kingdom, it's all good. Amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, it's all good.
It's all good.
Amen. See, so what we look at here then is irrespective of how you got here, you are part of the kingdom of faith, and you are part of the building that God is building.
Amen.
Amen. And what he is building, he's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. And I've said this on Sunday, and I'm going to say it again. Stop running after titles. Stop trying to get people to see you as a great something one way or the other. Jesus demonstrated it when he began to wash the feet of the disciples. Peter was like, Lord, you can't do this. You know, you're the greatest among us. He said, listen, if I don't do this, you don't have a part in the kingdom. And I wish I had time to really take this message part right there and really work this. But he said something, and we need to get this in our spirit. He said, then not only my feet, but my head also. Why do I need my head washed also? Because sometimes my thinking is not kingdom thinking.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes my thoughts are not kingdom thoughts. Sometimes I'm not thinking the thoughts of God. Sometimes I'm thinking other thoughts, and they pervade into the area where I should be living a kingdom lifestyle. I miss it because I'm not living and thinking like I should. Hello, somebody. So he used the prophets and he used the apostles as the foundation. We go through stuff. They killed the prophets. They martyred and persecuted the apostles. And here you are running around trying to get a title, thinking that you're ready for it. Brothers and sisters, you ain't ready for the persecution that comes along with it. You're not ready for the processing that comes along with it. Amen. You know the foundation has to be able to take the weight of the building.
Right.
And you can't stand nobody putting your name in their mouth. But yet still, you ready for the title. You ready for the collar and the chain. You ready for all of that. You ain't ready, baby. You ain't ready. Huh? You got to be willing to go through something. Huh? We've been talking about put my enemies under my foot and everything else. The devil's a liar. He wants you off focus. The Bible lets us know very clearly, and Jesus said this, Paul reiterates it, that they that live a godly lifestyle will suffer persecution. So if you're going through, you're talking about, well, this can't be God because I shouldn't be going through like this. Baby, if you want to stop going through, give up in the process and allow him to remove from you what he's trying to take out of you. The reason why you get in so much problem is because you're fighting the process. I'm trying to make it. I'm just trying to, you know, it's God's will for me to live on top of the world. You can't live on top of the world, huh? What's the saying they say? They say you have champagne tape with beer money. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You got champagne tape with beer money. In other words, what you want is on this level, but your means and resources are on this level. And because you have this taste, you strive for it, but you always overextend yourself because your resource is here. Now, let me show you that in the kingdom. If you keep speaking here, you'll never be able to live here.
Why not?
If you keep thinking about yourself here, then you'll never be able to think about yourself here. And this is where God thinks about you. This is where God calls you to. You can't get to this with this speech. You're not going to live up here with that mindset. See, we've been missing this. Shouting over this and speaking tongues over this, try to give over this. But the thing you have to understand is as a man thinks, so is he. And because your thoughts are not on the kingdom level, your speech is not on the kingdom level. And because your speech is not on the kingdom level, the devil, who is a legalist, takes those words and produces your environment and your harvest. So as a child of God, you're eating slop and trying to make the best of it when all you have to do is speak your outcome. Oh, Jesus. I wish I had time to go into it. Well, let's just say this. When we go into the book of Genesis, you understand that in Genesis, the Lord, God looked at a problem. Genesis 1:1-3. You see that? Let's go there right quick. I just want you to see this. Amen. Whew, Jesus. Lord, I praise you. This is good. All right. Let's go to Genesis, the first chapter. Amen. Easy to find for those of you who are turning your Bibles. If you go all the way to the front and just turn to you see scripture, it'll be the first, second, and third verse. Amen. I don't think you can miss that. Amen. Amen. Now, it says here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And let me say something right here. People are talking about the fact that the earth is this old and earth is that old. And the Roman Catholic Church said that it is this old based on the writings and everything they tabulated and all the rest of that. Listen, don't get caught up in that foolishness. Amen. God knows how old the earth is because he created the earth. So based on their information, they're still trying to tell us how big the universe is. And then they find out that they're wrong. So then they come up with another theory to explain some of the anomalies in their last theory. Amen. I decided that I don't have to do that. I'm just going to have faith in this word. And this word right here says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In my book, we're going to put that period right there. That was it. It don't matter. Stop trying to convince me one way or the other, because I understand that there's a period of time between Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2, where everything that you are speculating about could have happened. The space of time is, and we're dealing with Bible study, aren't we? So let's study this Bible. We're dealing with a space of time between Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2. We call it the great void, because we don't know how long that time was. It could have been millions and billions of years from the creation and the forming, huh, to when we came in. Dinosaurs and all other stuff, fossils you find, you're trying to figure out. We don't, listen, let me say it right here. We don't know what God made the earth out of. You might be finding fossils and everything from what he created it from. So you ain't proved nothing but that it took a God to do what has been done. When we begin to look at the human genome or genomes as a whole, you'll find out that every cell is folded neatly into itself. Huh? Who folded that? When atheists and agnostics cannot come up with an answer for what God did, they make it a mystery or they make it a theory. I got this. Hey, mystery solved. God did it. Okay? But let's look at this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Okay? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So now we see that there is matter, but we don't see conformity. You see that? It was without form and void. It's just there. Amen? And this is what I told you before, and I'm going back to it. Third verse, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay? So now what happened here is that there is a mess. And God doesn't come and deal with the mess by talking about the mess. Y'all got to catch what I'm trying to say here. Because you feel that you have a right to articulate what you're seeing. But all you're doing is strengthening the mess. God spoke the resolution to the mess. I hope y'all see what I'm saying here. He didn't come and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. He didn't come and say, you know what? This is just void. You know why? Because it would become more void.
All right.
He didn't say this is dark, because the darkness would have became darker. Y'all see what I'm saying? The answer to the problem is not reciting the problem. The answer to the problem is reciting the resolution to the problem. In other words, if you see darkness, speak light. If you see void, speak order. If you see chaos, speak peace.
Yes.
I hope this is blessing somebody today. Because too often what we're doing is we're speaking and we're dealing with things, but we're missing it on a massive scale. My God, we're missing it because we forget, amen, that while we're looking at it and we're talking about it, and then we turn around and try to qualify it for a miracle now, and then we say, but you know, God got it all in control. Well, if God has it in control, then let God have it in control at the very onset of it. Amen? Don't give it to God after you don't talk all the enemies part of it, doom, despair, agony. You see, wretchedness. Or if you from the hood, ratchetness. Huh? Talk about what the outcome should be, not what the present environment is. Amen? So here we see that he spoke concerning the resolution. And we have to learn to speak the resolution. Look at your neighbor and say, speak the end.
Speak the end.
Before it comes.
Before it comes.
Come on, say it again. Speak the end.
Speak the end.
Before it comes. So now then, well, here we are. We're looking at this. Amen. It says, now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone that holds all parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it. What is my purpose in the kingdom? To allow God to shape you and make you so that you fit into his temple. Things that you think should work, things that you think should be there, God is going to remove them from you because they don't have place in his house. And you have to allow yourself to be trimmed. You have to allow yourself to be cut off.
Oh, God, help me.
You have to allow yourself to be pruned. Lord, thank you for that. See, too often what we do is we like ourselves.
Yeah.
And some of us are just plain lazy. We don't want to change because it takes work. I'm about to preach a sermon series about the fear of success. I was talking to prophetess about this. The reason why people stay in the ruts where they are, it's because they don't want to work to mature to the next level. They rather stay at the mealy-mouth, mediocre level that they've been existing at because they don't have to do nothing to be there. Success takes work. It takes planning. It takes action. And see, the thing is that you go so far and be ready to succeed, and then you'll start acting up and sabotage your own success so that you never achieve it because you're aware of it. Lord help. We're going to get into that. That's coming. I hope y'all don't, stay with us for that. Why do you have to be a success? Because God didn't call us into failure. Amen?
Amen.
God didn't call us to be failures. God didn't call us to be mediocre. That's the enemy. The enemy don't want you to strive. Huh? And let me talk about that word prune.
Mm-hmm.
Pruning means that and when we look at plants, if the plant here has leaves that are dying so that it's not producing, the gardener will come and cut off the leaves or cut off those limbs so that the resources from the tree won't flow to what's dead and dying. It'll flow to what's producing. You see that? Because the tree or the plant will grow more leaves to replace what's gone. So what you're doing when you don't allow God to prune you, you're giving life to things that are dead and dying. So your resources don't go to what's living and progressive. It goes to what is dying and decayed. You've been trying to keep it alive. And God said, just get rid of it. You've been trying to revive it. And God's already said, I spoke death over it.
Wow.
And yet still you're pouring and sending resources that way, thinking that it's going to But guess what? God has already spoke the word. So here I am as an apostle, as a man of God, telling you, let it go. It is not for your betterment. It will be for your, it will be to your detriment. Just let it go. God is trying to do some things for us. Look at your neighbor and say, let him use you.
Let him use you.
Come on, tell him again, let him use you.
Let him use you.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So then we begin to talk about, this here. We're being made. I want to show you something here. When we look at how we're living, we have to understand that we live by our speech.
Yes.
One of the first sermons that I preached when we started Christ the King Redemptive Ministries back in 2002, the first series that I preached was You Are What You Speak. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And when I began to speak that, I spoke it as the Spirit gave me understanding. The problem is, you are what you speak simply says that if you keep speaking negative, then that's what you are, negative. If you keep speaking defeat, that's what you are, defeated. See, the world and man will tell you through their common sense that, you know, you got to be real with what it is. Talk about what it really is. You see that? And when you talk about what it really is, then sometimes it don't look like you want it to look. God didn't tell us to talk about what it looked like. God told us to speak about what it be like. So we need to learn how to speak the word that God has given us to speak. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's see how this works here. Proverbs 18. Go down to the 21st. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his lips. So that means that if you are got a sour stomach, maybe you spoke sour words. Is that clear? That's plain, ain't it? Huh? And when we look at this and we see it for what it really is, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Amen? Let's look at this over here, amen, in the Message Bible. And I think, I do believe that that's where I want to see it at. Yeah, there you go. Work satisfy the mind. Remember I was telling you just before that as a man thinks, so is he.
Uh-huh.
Your words gratify what you think about yourself. I love me. Then if you say you love you, then why don't you show that you love yourself? Really, you saying that to prove it to you. You ever hear somebody say, you talking like you trying to convince yourself? Some of y'all, instead of speaking the truth that God said about you, you're speaking like you're trying to convince yourself of that truth. Amen? Huh? Words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as the harvest. Then it goes on the 21st verse, says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Now, let me just say here, is that you have to understand that while we're looking at this, and you know that as we teach in series because we need to hit it and hit it again because we want to make sure that the truth of God and the truth of God, amen, hit your ears and get into your understanding. Amen? This is the way that we learn, so that we hear it over and again and over and again and over and again, so that we begin to believe the truth of what God is saying about us. Amen? See, because too often what happens is we hear the truth of God, and then we shout at church, and we come out here and give him praise. We come down to the altar. We put oil on your forehead, pray for you. You fall out, you go to your seat, then you go out the door. And the first time that you get in your car and start going down the street, and somebody says something, you back at the place that you were before you came into the household of faith, because you just forgot what it was that you understood and what you received. The revelation of the word now, huh? It's not with you.
Wow.
You see that? We need to look at the parable of the sower. You walk out the door and life grabs you right back. Satan takes that seed of the word right out of you. So instead of you living in this word, you miss it. So we come back again and minister the same word to you so that you understand the truth of God. And the truth of God is simply this. You speak as your father spoke. You receive manifestation as your father received manifestation. Whatever God said. Huh? Whatever he said, however he said it, it came to pass, did it not? Look at your neighbor and say, it came to pass. And if I'm a child of God, then the words that I speak will come to pass. Amen. I can't speak in doubt because doubt cancels my word. I have to begin to speak the word and believe the words that are coming out of my mouth. That's why yes men are terrible, because they'll say yes to anything. But they don't believe nothing that they're saying yes to. If you think the best way to get out of a confrontation or argument is just complying with the argument, then you're sadly mistaken. That doesn't do anything. What it does is it ties you to something that you don't agree with.
Uh-huh.
Huh? And if you don't agree with it, then when it's time to fall, you'll come up short. But when you mean something, you'll carry it. You'll fight for it. You'll deal with it like it needs to be dealt with. Your words have to mean something. And I know this is a part of my message, but I need to go here now because it's needful. In the kingdom of God, in the church, amen, we need to get back to integral speaking.
Amen.
Oh yeah, we got too many people in pulpits. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
Well, how come you doing that? Because listen, don't be asking me no questions. The Bible says to judge not an elder. Whatever it says there. It says don't be asking me no questions. I'm the elder. You just do as I say. And you need to make sure that God is working on you right. So when they wrong, and this is why the world has a problem with people in church, because they know that you wrong.
Right.
And when you come with this old cockamamie excuse for why you doing it and nobody else can do it, well, you know the Lord is still working on us. We all going through something. Everybody's going through something. But at the point in time that you had holy hands laid upon you, at the point in time that you got to a place where you were leading people, shouldn't you have grown out of some of that?
Wow.
Some of this stuff is juvenile in the kingdom. Shouldn't you have mature past that by now? Your words have to be integral again. Stop lying to people over the pulpit and then standing behind the fact that you're the pastor. I'm talking to my brothers and sisters right now. I'm so sick of running into hurt saints that don't go to church anymore. Hurt people. Love God. Hate church. Love to be in the presence of the Lord. Can't stand to be around Christians. How does that even work? And who gave them that dysfunction?
True.
When you go back, you'll see that they were dealing with some people who had the titles. They had the building. They had everything else. But yet and still, they had character flaws. And instead of letting the Holy Spirit work it out of them, they justified the flaw based on the title. So now we're helping people to rebuild lives who were broken, who were disenfranchised. You see that? By people who should have been walking integral, but they said one thing in the pulpit and lived another thing from the steps on.
Yes.
We got to get back to integral living. We got to get back to living this life, living the kingdom life, amen? And some of them, you know, I know that we're talking about your words, but your words have to become so integral that when you speak them, that they remain integral years down the road. I found that one of the best things that I could do was simply to tell the truth. I'm going to let that sink, settle right there just a little bit. Tell the truth. Why you tell the truth? Because if it's true today, 15 years from now, I don't have to remember what lie I told. I can just tell the truth again. You see that? Some of you don't remember what lie you told the last time. You're trying to hope that you don't run into people. I know me. I talk to people and they be speaking to me. Prophetess and I went into a restaurant the other day and lady said, hey! And my wife was like, hey! And she shook her hand and she shook my hand. How you doing? I shaking her hand. I'm doing good. How you doing? Yeah, I'm doing good and everything else. And as I walked away from that whole interaction, it slowly came to me who that person was. Now, how would it be if I had been lying all the way through everything?
Right.
She know I'm a man of God because when we talked the first time, I told her that I was in ministry, and she told me that she was the first lady, amen, of a Nazarene church, amen. That's it, amen. And when she said it, we talked and laughed a little bit. She's a realtor, and we was looking at the property and stuff. When we came over here to look at this, we were also looking at a place for ourselves. Amen. So when we talked about it, she was telling us different things, and we got into that. When I saw that lady, I did not recognize her or remember her. But what would have been happening? What would have happened if my life at that point, when I saw her the other day, what would have been happening to my and amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, amen. I pray that God will lead you to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching ministry where you can grow and be developed and mature. I pray for those of you who are hurt that the healing hand of Jesus will simply touch you. Regardless if it's physical, mental, emotional, I pray that you are healed. I pray for miracle signs and wonders to manifest all over the world, that the kingdom of God and those who live in the kingdom of faith will begin to stand up and be the church and the citizen that we should be and win souls to Christ. Listen, I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, along with Prophetess Crystal McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We'll see you on Thursday night for Prophetic Atmosphere with Prophetess Crystal at 7 p.m. You be blessed. We love you.